too. Going over to what's left of Europe to talk to Mike Walsh this hour. Mike is with us once a month. His columnist page on the left-hand side of the homepage is full of wonderful stories. How do you write four or five or six stories a day sometimes, Michael? How do you do this?
I don't know. I'm just totally driven. I'm left at the end of the day absolutely exhausted, Jeff. But something just keeps me going. I think the state of the world today, you know, I used to spend a lot of my time penning poetry. And there's over 2,000 verse I've heard, and world class at it. But I don't have that frame of mind anymore, Jeff. You know, everything is so tense. Yeah. You know, especially as a matter of fact, I'm just reading, you know, be afraid, very afraid. Just reading here, this was an American commentator, not me. He says, if the world was a bar, America would be the angry drunk waving around a loaded gun. Yeah, the other people in the bar might be afraid of him, but they sure as hell don't respect him. Now, that was an American who said that during the Biden era. Imagine what he might say today.
Yeah.
Be afraid, Jeff. Be afraid.
Well, I think speaking perhaps for both of us, maybe not, I just can't do fear. It gets in the way. I think your advice is correct. I think we could say be extremely concerned about your well-being, your welfare, your future, because that's what's on the line. And there's no doubt about it. We're in deep trouble. And it's going to get far worse before it gets better, because this is the plan. They've been planning this for a long time.
I think you're right, Jeff. And if I was working with analogies, I would say you've got two drunks in the bar, and they're both gone. Hand grenades in the hand, and the fingers are in the rings. And the problem is we're all in that tiny little room with them. So if anything goes up, we all go up with it. So this pretty well sums up the situation, not just for Europe, but for most, all of the Western Alliance. We're all in a terrible mess.
Right. Look how it's playing out. The Persian Gulf transits 20% of the world's oil. And yet the entire world is apparently about to go into massive paralysis, shortages of everything. I mean, is this really warranted when you're talking about only 20%? That's a lot, but it's not 50%. Anyway, we're headed toward an engineered takedown. But let me do this real quick here. I just got this story. To go back to Biden for a minute, to show all of you how evil this is, as if you didn't know. Newly released CIA documents have revealed that the Biden administration identified, now this is true, motherhood and homemaking as indicators of white, racially and ethnically motivated violent extremism. That's a quote. CIA documents. That's how evil the control is that we are in the hands of. It is dark, black evil. And then we can look at the Epstein issue. He's free. He didn't kill himself in jail. He's out. And so is Ghislaine Maxwell. She's out. When they put the double in about, 6 weeks ago, I called it immediately. It was obviously a different woman, different nose. There's no way to mistake somebody's nose. So they put a double in the jail where she's being held, or in prison, whatever it is, country club prison. Her imposter now has been called out by a top surgeon who claimed today, it's big news now, that the ex-madam is, quote, a completely different person, end quote. It's true. So where is the justice? Where is the morality? Where is the accountability? Where is the culpability? There is none. Everything is a mockery of justice now? Justice by accident or justice by purchase?
Yeah, when you say a quote like that, you know, my first thought is that these guys are on drugs, or it could be something else, and there is only one other thing that it could be, and that was an admission by Rosenthal, Harold Wallace Rosenthal, a big name in Israel, when he said that most Jews do not like to admit it, but our God is Lucifer, and we are his chosen people. Now, the United States, nobody can be under any illusions, even the Trump supporters, that the United States is de facto an Israeli state. You have been overtaken over. You have been occupied, and you have no independent foreign policy at all. You are run by Israel, and Israel is a satanic setup.
Oh, I completely agree. We went into Venezuela to make sure we had control of that oil. Now the invasion, the ground invasion of Iran, is taking shape. It'll probably happen in about a week, maybe a little less. They're going to invade to take the oil and gas, all of the oil and gas fields they can from Iran. And they all basically are concentrated in the left small area on the left western side of the country. Look at a map. I'm going to put a map up at the top of the home page any minute now. It should go up, and you'll be able to see where this fighting is going to be concentrated. And Trump and his Jewish masters or brethren doesn't care how many American men and women, boys and girls, teenagers in many cases, or 18, 19, will die. He doesn't care. They want the oil. So that's how they're going to defeat Iran, by taking its life's blood. That's their thought. They can't defeat them with bombs and guided bombs and drones and missiles. They can't. So they're going to go in there and take their oil. That's the game.
These are the kamikaze kids, Jeff.
Correct.
These kids are not going to come back except in body bags. You know, this is the reality. You know, this is the reality of modern war. You know, aircraft carriers are a thing of the past. You know, war has changed. And there won't even be any Iranian troops involved. There will be drones and rockets and missiles raining down on these guys. I don't know how they can get more than a minibus full of American troops out there, because I believe that right throughout the United States Army's armed forces, there is a rebellion brewing, and the retreat of the aircraft carriers has got more to do with onboard sabotage than it has with Iran. So there is rebellion breaking out, and this may be what's going to save the world, if the American armed forces actually do mutiny. There are mutterings in the forecastle, and it's going right the way through the American Navy.
You're right, Mike. You know, that was a mutiny on the Ford. That was a treasonous mutiny. There's no other way to honestly access that information and come up with any other conclusion. It was a mutiny. They destroyed the sewage system on the boat, or tried to force it back to port because they were tired of being out to sea. I get that. They're out now for almost a year.
The fire
was burned for over a week or longer, 10 days, something like that.
Yeah.
And now it's going to creep.
4,000 troops on there. 4,000.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a city. It's a floating city.
Right. Well, the Lincoln has been withdrawn as well. It's way out now, and it's in the Red Sea. I guess the Red Sea. Anyway, it's way far away. It's
Arabian Sea.
It's moving further away, too. We think it was hit a couple of times, not necessarily to the extent that it wasn't able to function in launching and recovering aircraft, but it was hit and damaged. We think that's what happened. Now remember, I have never seen, and I'll repeat this, a bigger, more vicious effort to suppress and control all news from a theater of war than I'm seeing with this one. And I mean both sides. The Iranians have forbidden their people to videotape or video record anything. And the Israelis, 5 years in prison if you get caught video recording any of the Iranian missile damage or incoming missiles exploding. You can't do it. So that's why there's no new video, in case any of you missed it. 5 years in prison in Israel if you go against the regime. The regime. Please continue, Michael.
Yeah, it's. I have been around for a long time. You know, I was born during the Blitz of Liverpool, which left Liverpool, the port city, the maritime city, looking like Stalingrad. So it's a long time. So there's a long time in between now and then. But I tell you now, Jeff, I have never known a period in my life, and I was born when we've had a British Empire, when there was so much misinformation by the media. You can forget the media altogether. We are totally relying on social media and organizations like Gab, because if you didn't have these, then you wouldn't have any information at all. You wouldn't know what the hell was going on, and the little that you did know was going on would be lies by the media. It is out of control now. We're worse than the Soviet Union, the old Soviet Union. The whole of the media, mainstream media, is just sucking up to the airline. And when I listen to mainstream media here in Europe, all I get is an Israeli spokesman, an American spokesman, the Pentagon spokesman. I don't hear the other side at all. And I know, because I am a journalist, an international award-winning journalist, that what they're telling me, excuse my French, it is bullshit. And everybody's being fed that. And it's time that the world is waking up. But I think that the world is waking up, and it's waking up fast. And we're going to see if we survive Armageddon. And I go back to my quotation before. What we're seeing is two protagonists in a small room, each with a hand grenade, each with the fingers in the ring of the hand grenade, and we are all in that room. If they pull the ring, it's all history anyway. So let's hope that doesn't happen and we all survive it, because we're all in the same boat. And as I've said before, Jeff, a lot of Americans don't realize that. You know, America has been around since 1776, but it has never, ever, until now, been threatened by any outside force, because it's got a moat on either side, a moat called the Pacific, a moat called the Atlantic. And those days are gone. All of the American cities are in the crosshairs of Israel. And we need to talk about this, because I don't think Americans, I think that they think that they're safe behind the Atlantic and the Pacific, and those days are long gone. You're right in the front lines, the same as my Liverpool was in 1942.
Did you know, I think you got it. I think I sent you the story that I received today. It's entitled "How Israeli Jews Stepped In and Took Over Russia When the Soviet Union Collapsed." They are now known as the Jewish oligarchs in Russia. Yes. They've taken over America too. So if that's why Putin doesn't do anything, he's on a short leash. The Jewish oligarchs will not allow him to act as an independent leader of that country. They also ordered the death of any number of people. They don't human life to Jewish control is nothing. Doesn't mean a thing. I'm talking about millions of people potentially. They just don't care. So we have now. Yeah, that's right. We're a second tier life form. We have now a very good essay that'll be up in headlines soon. How they took over Russia and why Putin cannot do anything. And if you think about it, they control and influence China to a significant degree. Certainly they're in India. I don't know about Pakistan, but I've heard stories. I'm just going on hearsay. But when you really think about 17 million people who identify as being Jewish on the planet, controlling 8.5 billion people, directly or indirectly, that's a hell of an accomplishment. It's absurd.
It's always been the way, Jeff. You know, it was called, and we're talking about over 100 years ago, even before 1917, it was called the Comintern, and it's still the Comintern. That's the Communist International, except that they turned the name around, that it is now globalism, because it sounds much better than Bolshevism. It sounds much better than international communism. So we call it globalism. So when you ever see that term, globalism, think, right, it is the international communism. We know who is running communism. Karl Marx and Engels. It's communist. It's Jewish domination of the world. And that's where we're up to now.
Right, right. Right now, two or three stories today, thousands of American troops, Marines mostly, are being sent to the Middle East from Camp Pendleton, the San Diego area of Southern California. They're on the way. They're being flown over, I would think. They're going to stage an invasion here, probably again in about a week. They've been flying over Abrams tanks for quite some time on C-5s. So they have the hardware. They've got the bodies. And now they're going to go in and try and cut off Iran from its life's blood, its oil and gas industry. That's the plan.
Yeah, but that's our industry as well. We know that these are filling the tanks of our cars. These are filling the gas tanks of the hospitals, absolutely
Correct.
Everything. This is what they're doing. So it's either the Iranians cut it off or the Americans cut it off. But we're all in deep trouble.
Yeah, I don't think people understand energy as controlling virtually everything on the planet. It's all about energy. Without energy, everything stops. And people are going to see things, I believe, there's a very good chance of it, that they have never even dreamed about before. And I mean bad things, not good things. Empty stores in America, empty store shelves in America. All manner of problems. They're all potentially there. And they will manifest if the controllers want them to. Okay? They will be put out there by design. This is nothing random going on here. I guess that's the bigger point. It's all controlled.
Yeah, you were talking about press information and press censorship before, but what do you think? What are your own thoughts, Jeff, on what is happening to Israel? Because they are getting a pummeling like they gave to Gaza, and there's whole parts of cities, American-made cities in Israel,
that are
being flattened, as you and I are talking, and we're going to reach a tipping point where Israel's existence is under threat. What happens then?
That's been talked about for quite a while. I do view all physical damage, not human beings, physical damage as being nothing but profit for the military-industrial complex. It'll be rebuilt, all of it. With loans, right? That's the game. They'll borrow money to rebuild. The American taxpayers will pay for much of Israel's rebuilding. That's a given. It's like we always have, paid for everything. They're not a manufacturing state. They're a consuming state. So if Israel can keep its people alive, which they seem to be fairly good at doing, lots of underground facilities, lots and lots. So the surface gets destroyed. It will be rebuilt. Tehran will be rebuilt in time. It's all big money. So they don't care. If you look at the military-industrial complex, build weapons, destroy property, then come in on a second layer and rebuild for big untold profits. $1 trillion in damage. Who knows? It was 500,
in Ukraine.
500, 50 billion in last June in the 12-day war. In Tel Aviv alone, I think it was $50 billion damage. It's probably far in excess of that now. But anyway, it's big money to rebuild damage in times of war. Same thing in Ukraine, which is being administered by a Zionist Jew, Zelensky, and his cadre. It's the same group. Wherever you look, it's the same group, ultimately.
Well, you know, I've been saying for centuries that the Jewish problem has got to be resolved one way or another. And I do think that the spin-off, a positive spin-off, and thank you for this, is that people are waking something to say, maybe Adolf Hitler had something. And if that ever happens, if they ever start reading Mein Kampf and Witness to History and my testimony, you know, the world is going to wake up very fast, and it's going to be destruction for the Jews when the people are still thinking as the National Socialists thought in 1939, when the whole world thinks the same as Hitler's Germany. The Jews are in big trouble, and if they thought that they had a Holocaust before, well, just hold your breath, because you ain't seen nothing yet.
No. You're right. People are waking up. They're certainly beginning to entertain things they otherwise never would, and that's encouraging. That's step one. Many of Gen Z stature are very much now of the opinion that they didn't get the truth about World War II. They're beginning to catch on, and you've spent a lifetime trying to bring that truth forward. So it's got to be encouraging to you. I don't know what you're hearing, but I know what I'm seeing is encouraging to me. It's good. People are really understanding that they've been conned. They've been hustled. They've been coerced. And they've been made to suffer. And the enemy at hand will do anything other than lose control. It'll take everything down with it, the whole planet if necessary, rather than give up the control it has. That's something that people must understand. And that brings us to the primary topic of the hour, and that's the Samson option of the Zionist state of Israel. Now, many of you listening know pretty much what the Samson option is, but Michael is an expert on it, and we're going to go through that a little bit now, because it's really, it's flat out from hell is what it is. Tell us more about the Samson option, Mike. Please.
Well, the Samson option is, there you are. I'm just pulling it up on the screen now, because the Samson option, put simply, if the Israeli state's existence was under threat, it could retaliate with overwhelming nuclear force. And they have it, as you very well know, as your readers very well know. It was Martin Van Creveld, the Israeli military historian, who was quoted in the IAP News on the 30th of May 2003. And this is what he says. We possessed 700 atomic warheads and rockets, and we can launch them at targets in all directions, even at Rome. Most Europeans are targets for our air force. Now, we've been talking about the Epstein file, but is there a bigger gun being held at the heads of the state leaders throughout the Western Alliance? Because if they do, and this is where the Samson option comes in, is the Samson option means that they will take the Western world down with them. The Samson option refers to Israel's so-called last resort nuclear doctrine. Put simply, if the Israeli state's existence was under threat, and it is, it could retaliate with overwhelming nuclear force. The Israeli state's nuclear doctrine isn't officially acknowledged. However, the Samson option is widely discussed in strategic and academic circles, such as part of Israel's deterrence posture. Israel is commonly supposed to maintain a policy that if facing annihilation, it would use its nuclear arsenal to inflict catastrophic retaliation on any nation that the Jewish state considered its enemies. Now, they've just threatened Vladimir Putin with the same end as the Ayatollah Khomeini. This is their power. They are out of control. When you start threatening, and they did the same to Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary, they threatened to send military squads. They say, we know where he lives, and the military will deal with him. This is the Western Alliance when it is run by the Israelis. No one is safe. When prime ministers and presidents and entire nations are in the crosshairs of the Israeli aggressors, we are all in deep trouble, big trouble. And that's the Samson option. It resurfaces during major regional crises, especially conflicts involving Iran, Hezbollah, or multi-front wars, and it's involved in all of them. Now, the term from the biblical figure Samson, who destroyed a Philistine temple by collapsing it on himself and his enemies. This symbolizes a threat to bring the entire house down scenario. Pundits recall that Israel's Samson option whenever Israel faces existential threats. These include a large-scale military attacks or direct conflict with Iran. Now, the Samson doctrine's existence serves to deter, well, does it, adversaries from attempting to destroy Israel. Yet this is precisely what Iran has states as its intention. And Iran has already said that their purpose is to destroy, completely annihilate Israel. So if Israel sees that, they could pull the trigger on the Samson option. And if they do, any state that's like in Europe, you've got the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, lots of them, even Keir Starmer of the United States, of the United Kingdom, they're all saying, we're not in this. You have walked, Trump has walked into a swamp. We are not going to walk into the swamp with him. Draining the swamp, Trump is the swamp.
Oh, yeah. People wonder what their options are. How can they move? How can they act? What can they do to change the tragically apparent status quo now of international Zionist control? What can they do? They can't go to the ballot box. So what do they do? If you're a student of history at all, you'll understand that the Byzantine Empire, that was the remnants of the major Roman Empire, they called the Eastern Roman Empire. It was a continuation of the Roman Empire. Let's just keep it simple. In the Eastern Mediterranean, it lasted about 1,000 years, and it had a problem. It had a problem with Jews. And what did the Byzantine Empire do for over 1,000 years? They excluded all Jews from certain governmental posts, for starters. In 418 AD, they were all barred from civil service, from all military positions, and more. In 425, Jews were excluded from all remaining public offices, both civilian and military, a total prohibition on them. And they never had any real problem for about 1,000 years. So that's how they handled it. They kept them down and they kept them separated from the actual strings of government and finance. So that was one solution. We can't do that now. We don't have a Byzantine Empire. And they are now in control. So what do we do? What are our options, Mike? Can you think of anything?
Yes, I can think of it, because the headlines today are that a so-called terrorist group has blown the shit, excuse my French, out of a factory plant in, where was it, the Czech Republic, because it was making Israeli weapons. And this is a sabotage group. And what you're going to see is this. You're going to see a repeat of the Soviet collapse in, right up to 1990-1991. Is that people are going to take power and they're going to take democracy onto the streets. And if the state leaders who are threatened by Israel don't do something about it, then the people will. Because right the way through, and we were talking about before, about the mainstream media suppression, there is massive demonstrations occurring right throughout the United Kingdom and the European Union against the war. Against the war in Ukraine and against what America is doing at Iran now. There is as much support for Iran in Europe as there is in Iran itself. So this is going to be a big, big problem. They are not going to get people who will fight Western wars anymore. We have woken up. You know, those days are gone when in 1939 and smaller conflicts after that, Cyprus and Africa and Far East and Vietnam, the press is no longer holding the power. And this is why they're cracking down on social media. because if you want the truth out, you've got to go onto social media, because they are publishing facts and pictures that you will never ever see on mainstream media.
That's true.
What you're going to have is you're going to have sabotage. You're going to have what they call terrorism against Jewish interests. And you just wait, and it could possibly be happening already, because you wouldn't know about it. And that is the politicians, and especially Israeli figures, luminaries, are being assassinated, and they'll continue to be so. As a matter of fact, as you know, I have... I'm responsible for over 70 books. Over 70 books have got my name on. Some of them are in your own platform, which is which I thank you very much for. And what we're going to see now is we're going to... I wanted to compose a book, pen a book, in which the ordinary people set up their own assassination squads and start doing a death wish. A death wish on the power brokers, not just Jewish, but the you know, those who are controlled by the Jews. And I think that the power, to answer your question, has got to come from the people.
That's the last resort. I agree.
Absolutely.
There's nothing else left.
But it's the only resort.
No.
I can't think of anything else. There's no political solution.
We'll see. We're about to go into yet another ground war. Now, this one will be ugly, as they all are. Many Americans and Iranians are going to die. It could get far worse. If any country in Central or Western Asia has true independence and any military clout at all and comes to the aid and support of Iran, it'll get big real quickly. I don't know that that's going to happen. We'll have to wait and see. The Pakistanis could have sent nukes to Iran already. Don't rule anything out, because we have no knowledge of what's really going on. There could be nukes already in Iran. I wouldn't be surprised. Not many, but some. And so they have a means to fight back. So I think part of the reason for the ground war, Mike, is that I would suggest that the Israelis made it clear to Trump that if he didn't invade on the ground and take the oil and gas reserves and fields of Iran, that they would nuke Iran. They would start probably with Tehran. They would nuke Tehran. And then from there, Isfahan, who knows? But they would just, they'd nuke it. And I think that that's a real possibility as to why we're facing another ground war there.
You're talking a population of 10 million, Jeff. That's a population of Tehran. That is big, and I believe that it's as big as New York. And they're talking,
You're talking about Tehran. Tehran, 9-plus million, correct. It's a country of 90 million people. It's a big country.
Yep. Yeah, it's a hell of a big country. But what would be the world's reaction if America should nuke Tehran? Because if I was living in Russia or China, I would say, well, maybe Peking or Moscow is the next in the crosshairs. And, you know, as Napoleon said, he who hits first hits twice. And I think that if I was sitting in the Kremlin or in China, I would very much consider slamming a nuclear warhead into Washington to save themselves. Now, when you stop and think about it, because even on a big scale, it's very similar to a situation in a domestic scale. If one hits first, then that one is out. He who hits first hits twice. And again, size doesn't matter anymore, because North Korea has got the opportunity, the chance, it's got the potential to take out the United States. It's only a tiny country. It doesn't matter anymore. Size, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. And some of these smaller nations have got their own nuclear. You were talking about Pakistan before, and what's her name, the Gab, the Alaskan representative?
Tulsi Gabbard, she's the director of national security in this country.
Yeah.
You're talking about the senator from Alaska, was it Murkowski? I can't remember. I think
I'm thinking about Tulsi Gabbard. But even she said, and I don't know about the truth of it, but she could be right, and small states now, much smaller than the United States, have got the nuclear power to take out the United States. So the moat has disappeared. You are all in the front line now. So, you know, that is something to keep in mind. So we're back with the finger in the ring of the hand grenade. And it's scary times, you know. And, you know, I get up in the morning, go for a coffee in the afternoon, and I come back and I switch on, and I think, what the hell has happened? I say to my wife, let's go and see Israel is still in existence. That's where we're up to now.
Wow.
I never ever thought in all of my life, you're absolutely right, I've been fighting this for a lifetime. It was 1968 when I signed a document to join the British movement. I've been fighting ever since. How long is that? It's just under 60 years I've been fighting this fight, but I've never, ever seen... I've been to jail. I've been to prison. I received 6 four-month prison sentences for predicting accurately what is happening today. Huh. That was back in 1979. Some of your listeners weren't even born then, but that's how long this slide has been going on for. And we're getting near now to the spirals, and I never saw anything like this in my life. You know, I lived through the Vietnam War. I lived through all of these wars, even when the French were there in Cambodia before the Americans were there. I've lived through it all, Cyprus, the British Empire, World War II. I've seen it all. I'm a survivor. I'm still here, and I'm going to be here for a while yet. But as long as nobody pulls the ring out of the hand grenade. Otherwise, we all kiss our backsides and goodbye, and we go up the chimney. You know, talk about the Holocaust, it will be a world Holocaust.
Much of it will
survive.
Yes, it will. It will. But it'll be indiscriminate slaughter in too many cases. Yeah. What are your favorite social media outlets? You mentioned Gab, I believe.
Gab is about the only one because it is totally free. Oh, BK, oddly enough, and I keep on pointing this out to my friend, they keep on saying that Russia is controlled and all the rest of it. I can put anything I like on BK, and I have never been bound. I got an awful lot of friends on BK. BK Contact is its full name. It's Russian, but there's an awful lot of Europeans on it and the occasional Americans. So BK tends to be mostly European and, of course, Russian. But, yeah, I can put pictures and memes about Adolf Hitler. I can sell my books, the same books that are sold on your platform, thank you very much. Witness to History and the Last
great,
Testimony
great
of
books.
Adolf Hitler.
Great books.
Well, they're selling very well, and thank you for that. And
I'm grateful to you for writing them, and I'm grateful that people are buying them and reading them. That's hope. People want to know. This is great.
Sales have doubled, Sales have doubled. And that was before we started putting them. You know, that was for a period, November, December, January, where we started advertising on your platform, thank you very much, in February. So sales have doubled before then. So imagine what they're going to be in the future. You know, Witness to History and books like that, Heroes Hangman, Traitors of... I lose my mind at 3 o'clock in the morning, so
it's okay. You're doing very well.
But these books are going to be flying off the shelves as people, you know, they've seen the lies about Gaddafi, they've seen the lies about Saddam Hussein, they've seen the lies about this leader, that leader, and all of the lies, and now they realize, they're waking up to the fact that they have been told a whole lot of lies about Hitler's Germany and what a fantastic lifestyle they had there. So we're going to see, I'm 83 now, I think we're going to see, even before I kick the bucket fall off the perch, you know, we're going to see a revelation and a revolution back to National Socialism.
I think we're leaning that way here in the U.S. Socialism, leftists, liberalism, and communism.
Well, not that kind of socialism, I hope. National socialism. It's the only socialism that is banned. because it was a true, it was a real, it
because
wasn't,
it worked.
It wasn't a
it
socialism
was
that was controlled by the Jews.
No, I know. It was an organic form from the people, by the people, and honored by the government. The government did more for the people of Germany in the 30s. Those people were the happiest people on planet Earth. If you watch any newsreels from the time, all of that cheering, all of those turnouts for the parades, if Hitler were driving down the street, a million people would turn out. Half a million people here. It's all real. It wasn't contrived. They were happy people. They were being respected. Hitler always said the number one resource of Germany was its people. And he invested in the people. And nobody knows that. Not now. But that was the truth.
And they don't want them to know about it. The first book, they banned Amazon and Lulu, banned all of my political books, and not political books, even the poetry books. They banned them all. And the first book was that they banned was Heroes of the Reich and Life in the Reich. Which is being sold, of course, on your platform. These were the first books they do not want. Do you know the German cruise liners, they were not allowed into British ports because they didn't want British stevedores and the people who lived in British ports seeing how well the Germans were living. These were ordinary guys and ladies. These were typists. These were bus drivers. These were train drivers, ordinary people of Germany, and they were enjoying paid-for, subsidized holidays on cruise liners at a time when, in the West, only movie stars and bankers and Jews were taking holidays on the cruise liners at the time. But
these were the people.
Ordinary German workers, and it was subsidized. Mm-hmm. Their homes were subsidized, but they did the same with Gaddafi. Gaddafi revolutionized Libya, one of the biggest countries in Africa, and it was catching on. It was an epidemic, and all the African leaders in the 63 countries, I think it is, in Africa, they were all catching on to the Libyan model, and that is why Gaddafi had to be got rid of. But those chimes are changing very, very fast, and we're talking in terms of months now, because when the mob flops, and it surely will, this year or next year, you are going to wake up in a completely different world than the one you've been living in. Even me, with my longevity, I am going to see more change in the next 24 months than I've seen in the last 48, 50 years.
Well, I think you're being 100% accurate. I agree. Those people on those ships, Americans have no idea. The German government paid every year for a great number of the German working class to take a first-class ocean liner vacation or go to a resort. They had that huge resort they built. I forget on which lake it was. Anyway, they took care of the people.
Yeah, on the Baltic.
They really
that's
did.
Right,
on the Baltic. They invested in the people, and the rewards were limitless. They were just extraordinary. And that's very interesting. They wouldn't let him into British ports. They didn't want to see how well they were doing. Wow. All they thought about was the Treaty of Versailles, probably in Britain at that time, thinking the Germans were pretty much down. But no, no. They had come all the way back and then some, thanks to the leadership of the government. It's simple. That government inspired those people.
Really did,
yes.
The German workers, they really did enjoy a lifestyle that was comparable to that of the movie stars in the West. And not only that, but Germany led the world in fashion, in medicine, in cinema, forget Hollywood. They were well ahead. Lifestyle, manufacturing, transport, infrastructure. Their trains were then modern, even by today's standards. So was healthcare and education and cutting-edge science. And no wonder they don't want anybody to read Life in the Reich. They don't want anybody to read Heroes Hang When Traitors Triumph. And they don't want anybody to read The Last Testament or Witness to History. They are, that's the last thing that they want, information. And this information is there. It's been around. Do you know, Jeff, it has taken me, I think, about 1979 when I started working on Witness to History. Now it is 2026. Work it out yourself. You don't need to be an accountant. I've been working and improving on that book. And you know, you will will never see the likes of it again. And I tell you why, Jeff, because all of the original material, all of the source material has been bought up, burned and destroyed. It's no longer there. So I compacted it. While you could get it, while you could get it, while it was freely available after World War II, I could get it, and I used it, and I've still got a lot of it. Maybe I shouldn't be saying such things because my home will be the next to be blown up.
Well, let's hope not.
It's all in the book anyway, so no matter how often they blow up my bloody apartment and blow me up with my wife with it, is the truth is out there. But people have got to
witness to history.
Go and find out. Witness to history. Yeah. Witness to History by Michael Walsh. And it was banned by all of the main publishers. And as one guy says, a very nice reader, he says, I've read a lot about World War II in Germany. This includes David Irving's books. However, you, Mike, wrapped it all up in a really tidy and factual package. I highly recommend it to all my history, truth-seeking friends. Thank you for such a great book, Brian Wiggles. A wonderful book.
What a nice thing to read.
Thousands of tributes of that nature.
Yeah.
But that's why they don't want the truth out.
Oh, no, they're afraid. They are afraid. They are stark, raving, afraid of the truth. It's the biggest thing on the planet that scares them. It's true.
Yeah.
Reality.
Yeah.
The truth. Wow.
Yeah, well, I think it was Henry Ford who said that there is only one thing that the Jews hate, and that is the truth.
Henry was right. I have
Henry was an Irish American, like my father. So,
I have his book on my desk, both volumes, part one and part two. The International Jew. It's you never really stop learning from great books. And Witness to History is available. Look at the book carousel. On the homepage, you'll see it there. Witness to History, Michael Walsh. It's a must-have book. No joke.
Sales are soaring, and thank you very much for your being a part of it.
Well, you deserve it, Mike.
You too.
You've been through hell, and you stood your ground. And this is a little something that you deserve, at least.
I've been fined so many times. I've been arrested so many times. I've been jailed, even in Spain. For campaigning for the release of Rudolf Hess, R.I.P. I've been hounded.
You've been at this a long time. Wow.
Yeah, it was a Star newspaper in Britain in 1975 who said I was the most dangerous man in Britain. And do you know why? I had published a newspaper in which it showed that the pictures that were being shown of so-called Nazi atrocities were actually published in the Swedish press before Adolf Hitler was even elected. They were pictures of the Gulag, the Soviet Gulag.
Yeah.
Oh, and this was going out, and this is why the so-called press was saying that I was the most dangerous man, because I was releasing the truth. They don't like the truth. They hate the truth because the truth will bring them down. And this is what we need to do. You said, what can we do? We've got to find out the truth, and we're learning fast. We're waking up fast. And when we do, we're going to get mad, and it's going to be like disturbing a hornet's nest. And there's going to be acts of sabotage and terrorism, which is going to come from the grassroots. That's what's going to happen.
That's the only way it can be reversed. I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying that would be a logical conclusion. You can't keep people down under the boot forever. Either they're going to fight their way out or they're going to die. It's that simple. And they're just about to that point now. So nothing would surprise me.
No, the senior editor of the biggest group of newspapers, English language newspapers in this part of Europe, I pulled me to one side once at a social event in Marbella. And he said, Michael, he says, when you send in your stories about your predictions about where the world is going, he said, I just wonder what Mike is on. You know, he needs to leave the grass alone. He says, but blow me down. He says, 6 months later, he said, what you have predicted has been proved to be absolutely right. And that was a great editor. And it's the same. So now listen to me, because what I say now is going to happen. I don't have any special fortune-telling experience or anything like that. It's just
no, this is not paranormal. This is simple study of reality. You just look at the issues at hand, and you can connect the dots. It's not hard. If you just put the biases away.
Connecting the dots. You are so right. And this is what I'm pretty good at. So, listen to what I say.
All right. Very good. We're out of time. It's time for you to go back to bed, Michael. Thank you very much for getting up. You have a lot of fans.
Thank you for getting me out of bed. There's not many people can do that. Only the captains of ships. I used to be a merchant mariner, and getting up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning to go on watch. And that's the way I look at it now. I've been on watch, and I'm never off the watch. I'm like a captain. I'm never off the watch. So thank you for the opportunity, Jeff, to connect with your wonderful audience out there, and thank them for all of the tributes that come in after every radio broadcast I make with Jeff Renz. It's really appreciated.
How nice. Very good. You deserve every bit of it, my friend. We'll talk to you next month, perhaps in a largely different context than we're talking right now. We will see. Things are changing very quickly.
You could talk to me tomorrow and it might have changed.
Isn't that the truth? Thanks, Mike, very much.
Thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Love to everybody in the United States. Trump is not the United States. You guys are.
Very good. Thank you. Perfectly said, Mike. Okay. Good night, my friend. We'll talk.
Thank you, Jeff. Good night, mate. Okay. Good night.
A class act, a great mind, a great servant to good. The truth. We'll be right back. Hold on.